from WILL's Illinois Newsroom. This is 217 Today. I'm Brian Moline. It's Monday, August 16th. Coming up, the more contagious Delta variant now dominates new COVID-19 cases. The COVID variants have changed dramatically over the last year. More in a conversation with the Illinois State Epidemiologist in just a few minutes. But first, these headlines. Governor J.B. Pritzker recently signed a series of measures that advocates say could take a sizable share of Illinoisans off the streets and into their own homes. As Maureen McKinney reports, the COVID-19 pandemic has made the state's affordable housing shortage harder for lawmakers to overlook.
Housing experts estimate Illinois has a shortage of more than 250,000 in affordable housing units for people with extremely low incomes. Bob Palmer is policy director at Housing Action Illinois.
So it's going to take many years and many resources, including more resources from the federal government, to totally eliminate that deficit of affordable rental units.
New laws Pritzker signed are meant to drive construction and rehab of affordable housing through grants and tax incentives, and another expands eligibility for an existing housing support program. A third law seals eviction records between March 2020 and March 2021 and offers temporary foreclosure protection for some landlords and homeowners. I'm Maureen McKinney.
Leaders in Illinois' tourism and hospitality sector are asking state lawmakers to allocate more money from the most recent federal stimulus package to help their industries recover. Included in the new state budget is $300 million in funding for business grants, paid for by some of the more than $8 billion the state is set to receive from the American Rescue Plan Act Congress passed this spring. But Illinois Hotel and Lodging Association President Michael Jacobson says his industry was promised $30 million of those grants, but ultimately that pot of money was reduced.
Don't get me wrong, we're thankful for the support that we have gotten under the current program. This $25 million figure for the entire state of Illinois is important, but it's not only less than what we were promised by legislators, it's less than what is being offered by just one single county in the state of Virginia.
Jacobson says Fairfax County, Virginia, just south of Washington, D.C., is offering hotels $30 million in relief money, and Illinois' neighbor to the north just released $75 million in support for its hotel industry. Illinois schools have struggled with the teacher shortage for several years. The pandemic has only intensified it. Peter Medlin has more on what some districts are facing as the new school year is set to begin.
Chris Dvorak is the regional superintendent for LaSalle, Marshall, and Putnam counties.
Year begins this week and next week for most of our schools. We have a number of vacancies that we're working to get people properly licensed.
65% of Illinois school districts say the teacher shortage is getting worse. Dvorak says in LaSalle County, that number is even higher at 85%. Dozens of positions in his region sit unfilled with the first day in sight. Some schools are hiring international teachers. Other Illinois schools are offering signing bonuses up to $5,000. He says the state's tried to soothe the situation. They passed a $40,000 minimum salary plan, they axed the basic skills test, and have made it easier for out-of-state teachers to transfer their credentials. Those have all made a difference, but he says Illinois needs to stay committed to solving the teacher shortage. I'm Peter Medlin.
Champaign County public health officials reported 140 new COVID-19 cases over the weekend. The number of active cases now sits at over 800. Three new cases were reported on the University of Illinois Urbana campus on Saturday. Campus positivity rates have been slowly rising since early July. 21 Champaign County residents are currently hospitalized with the virus, and nearly 106,000 people have been fully vaccinated in Champaign County. That's 58% of the vaccine-eligible population and about half of the total population. Still to come, we'll hear from the Illinois State Epidemiologist about how COVID-19 variants have changed over time. Illinois Newsroom's health reporter Christine Herman has that conversation next on 217 Today.
The 21st is where Illinois gathers for news, information, and daily conversation on politics, the pandemic, culture, and everything in between. I'm Brian Mackey, inviting you to join the conversation anytime, day or night, by leaving us a voicemail. The number is 217-300-2121, and we might play it on air. Then tune in Monday through Thursday at 11 a.m. on AM 580 and 6 p.m. on FM 90.9.
This is 217 Today. I'm Brian Moline. COVID-19 cases are rising once again in Illinois and most of the U.S., and the more contagious Delta variant now makes up the vast majority of new coronavirus cases. To learn more about how the variants have changed over time in Illinois and what that means on a practical level, Illinois Newsroom's Christine Herman spoke with Sarah Patrick, acting state epidemiologist in Illinois.
Viruses typically do change, and they change so that it can survive. As a virus moves through different populations, it will start to mutate. In the spring of this year, the WHO, World Health Organization, changed some of the nomenclature that we were using to describe the viruses. Rather than name them after the country where that mutation was found, they gave them Greek letters. And so Alpha was originally talked about as B117. And it was really the first variant that we saw in Illinois of concern. And that was in, you know, February, early March. It did have higher transmissibility than previous versions of the virus, but really just kind of went along. And so we have a lot of those cases reported on our website because that's a cumulative count. The next one that came up was called P1, or also referred to as Gamma. And we had some really interesting patterns with that because Gamma really seeded itself in central Illinois. And at one point, Illinois had the most of this variant reported compared to other states in the nation. But one of the things we proved is when you vaccinate around it, when you do your case investigations, when people participate in contact tracing, and we can get people in for testing as fast as possible and get them into quarantine, the people who are exposed, we were actually able to bring down those numbers. And even though Gamma exists in certain communities in very low levels now, it's not the dominant variant in the state now. Next up was Delta. It got introduced in Illinois in about April. And one of the things that we're learning through the science is just how much more transmissible it is. We're still studying how severe it is and whether or not it causes more hospitalization or deaths.
So just a few questions about the data that IDPH reports. Where does it come from exactly? Is IDPH doing the sequencing, or are you more so aggregating data that is being sequenced by other labs that is then submitted to the state?
So IDPH has three different laboratories in the state. The Chicago and Springfield locations do our genomic sequencing. We have a partner at Southern Illinois University in Carbondale that had started doing sequencing for us even before we were able to start doing the sequencing ourselves. So we didn't build up that capacity in the IDPH lab in Carbondale. So we do sequence specimens, and we have asked hospitals and providers to send us specimens. We prioritize people who are hospitalized, specimens that are part of outbreaks, and individuals who have breakthrough disease. We also know that there's data coming in from other locations as well, and we try to get our arms around that as well. About 9.8% of all PCR positive tests in Illinois do get sequenced at this current time. We're much higher than many states in the U.S.
About 92% of cases from the first 2 weeks of August so far have been Delta. Can we say with some degree of certainty that 90% of all COVID positive cases in Illinois are Delta, or is that not accurate since the samples that are sequenced were not randomly selected?
Well, randomization would be perfect, but it's extremely difficult to do when you literally have thousands of laboratories across the state. What we try to do is look at what is that change over time from a given data source. So if we're looking at the CDC program, their most recent data goes through July 17th, and nationally Delta is about 94%, and in Illinois for that same time frame is 87%. But of course, we are looking at what's coming into the state lab and other sources, and it is bumping up. The main take-home point is, yes, Delta is the most common variant that's circulating in Illinois right now. Will Delta stay there? Maybe, maybe not. Maybe it'll behave just like Alpha did, where it was dominant for many, many weeks, actually months, and then got squeezed out by another variant. The take-home message is we need to get people vaccinated. We need to make sure that the variant, that any virus doesn't have room to move within the population.
That's Sarah Patrick, acting state epidemiologist for the Illinois Department of Public Health. She spoke with Illinois Newsroom's Christine Herman. And finally, in your forecast, meteorologist Andrew Pritchard says we'll see mostly sunny skies today with a high of 80 degrees. That's it for today. Reporting today contributed by Maureen McKinney, Hannah Meisel, Peter Medlin, and Christine Herman. Music by the Kilbourne Alley Blues Band. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. I'm Brian Moldine. 217 Today is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening, stay safe, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.